Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Local news roundup. Mom accused of hitting children, pushing officer. An Odessa Police Department officer was hurt last week after responding to a family disturbance that also resulted in injuries to two children. According to an OPD report, officers received a 911 call around 6:20 p.m. last Thursday from the 1000 block of West Monahan Street about an intoxicated woman hitting her children. When the officers arrived, they found Christine Galvan, 33, sitting on the couch, and when a corporal asked her what was going on, Galvan stood up in an aggressive manner and began being belligerent. According to the report, Galvan pushed the corporal, and when she tried to detain Galvan, Galvan pulled her necklace and radio equipment from her, breaking them and causing scratches all around her neck. Galvan's 12-year-old daughter and 13-year-old son told officers Galvan came home drunk and crying because she'd lost a friend to suicide. According to the report, the daughter said Galvan punched her in the back of the head while she tried to help her up some stairs, and when her brother came to her rescue, Galvan threw a punch at him. At that point, they were choking, punching, pushing, slapping, and kicking each other, the boy said. His mother also spit on him, he said. Officers noted the boy had scratches around his neck, a cut on his nose, and a ripped shirt. The girl told officers she was in pain from being punched. Galvan was arrested on suspicion of assault on a public servant and two counts of injury to a child, all third-degree felonies punishable by 2 to 10 years in prison. She remains in the Ector County Jail on surety bonds totaling $30,000. Mom arrested after a 3-year-old found. An Odessa mom was arrested on suspicion of child endangerment Monday after two women found her 3-year-old son running around 31st Street naked. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a woman called 911 around 1:40 p.m. Monday to say she'd found the child crying and naked, and when officers met her at the 2700 block of North Muskingum, another woman reported she'd seen the child on East 31st Street and followed him. The boy was unable to provide any information to the officer, and after dispatchers didn't receive any calls from someone missing a child, he began driving around the neighborhood, the report stated. The officer found a home in the 2900 block of North Tom Green with a wide-open back door, the report stated. No one came to the back door when he knocked, but a few minutes later, Yannette Lopez Manzanette ran out the back door screaming for the child. She told officers she'd fallen asleep and woke up when the officer knocked at her door, the report stated. She was arrested on the state jail felony of abandonment, endangerment to a child. She remains in the Ector County Jail, and no bond has yet been set. Andrews man accused of assault. An Andrews man accused of strangling his girlfriend and pointing a gun at her and her children was arrested Friday after the city's camera system spotted his vehicle. According to the Odessa Police Department report, officers received a disturbance call from the 9100 block of Red Cliff Avenue on December 17th, and when they arrived, a 27-year-old woman told them Dustin Mora Rodriguez, 25, got drunk at a party in Andrews and repeatedly told her, "I should kill you," on the drive back to Odessa. The woman said when they got home, Rodriguez pushed her down while she was unbuckling their 2-month-old baby from his stroller, causing the stroller and baby to fall over. According to the report, the woman said Rodriguez began choking her, and she hit him in the face with her phone. After she got to her feet, the woman said Rodriguez began choking her again, and again she hit him in the face with her phone. The woman told officers Rodriguez then proceeded to get his pistol, put it to her forehead, and said, "I should kill you," according to the report. She said he also pointed the gun at her 6- and 8-year-old children and said he should kill them too. Officers saw evidence of strangulation around her neck and a holster on the bedroom floor, the report stated. Officers obtained warrants for 3 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, assault family member, impede breath, endangering a child, and unlawful possession of a firearm by a felon. On Friday, several officers pulled Rodriguez over at gunpoint at 8th Street and Dixie Boulevard after the camera system picked him up near Fitch Avenue and Laredo Drive, according to the reports. Officers found a Xanax bar and cocaine in Rodriguez's pockets, according to the report. He told them the pants were not his. Rodriguez was booked on the outstanding warrant and on suspicion of 2 counts of possession of a controlled substance. The aggravated assault charge was the most serious charges and carry a prison sentence of 2 to 20 years. He was released from the Ector County Jail Monday after posting surety bond totaling $202,500. DPS adds Odessa fugitive to most wanted list. The Texas Department of Public Safety announced on Tuesday it added Salomon Marquez of Odessa to the Texas 10 Most Wanted Sex Offender list. Crime Stoppers is offering a cash reward of up to $3,000 for information leading to each of their arrests. All tips are guaranteed to be anonymous. DPS detailed Marquez has been wanted since March 2022, when the Ector County Sheriff's Office issued a warrant for his arrest for failure to comply with sex offender registration requirements with a previous conviction. In 2002, Marquez was convicted of aggravated sexual assault of a child after an incident involving a 6-year-old girl, the press release stated. He was subsequently sentenced to 5 years of confinement. In 2010, he was convicted of failure to comply with sex offender registration and sentenced to 3 years of confinement and 3 years of probation. Marquez is 5'9" and weighs 195 pounds. He has tattoos on both arms. In addition, in Odessa, he also has ties to Midland. For more information or updates in the event of his arrest, view Marquez's wanted bulletin at tinyurl.com/2JC2NF2M. Dad accused of leaving 3-year-old alone. An Odessa man was arrested Monday on a warrant that was issued after police said he left his 3-year-old son home alone back in November. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a resident at the Legato Rent Apartments on De Miranda Drive called police November 13th after finding the boy, clad only in a diaper, alone and wandering around a 3-story breezeway when the temperature was 48 degrees. The resident recognized the child as his next-door neighbor, and when officers checked inside the apartment, they found it empty. According to the report, they also noticed the electric stove was on and coils were bright red. When the child's mother was contacted, she said she was at the gym and she'd left the boy with his father, the report stated. The officers confirmed she was indeed at the gym. When they contacted the boy's father, Martin Adolfo Duarte, 24, he confirmed he had care and custody of the boy but had left him alone to go to work. A warrant for abandoning and endangering a child was issued, and Duarte was arrested on that warrant Monday. The crime is a state jail felony punishable by 6 months to 2 years in jail. Duarte was released from the Ector County Jail Tuesday after posting a $4,000 surety bond. Odessan arrested on suspicion of DWI. A 45-year-old Odessa man with a history of DWI convictions was arrested on suspicion of driving while intoxicated Monday night, but not until he led the officer who was trying to pull him over to his house. According to an Odessa Police Department report, an officer spotted Fernando Galvez Ruvalcaba driving a Dodge Ram 1500 around West Murphy Street and South Crane Avenue around 8:30 p.m. Monday and activated his lights and siren because one of the truck's brake lights wasn't working. Ruvalcaba kept going on Murphy before turning onto Bronk Avenue, Maple Street, and Divine Avenue, the report stated. He then pulled into a residence in the 300 block of Divine Avenue. According to the report, Ruvel Kaba smelled of alcohol, was unsteady on his feet, and had bloodshot eyes with dilated pupils. After learning Ruvel Kaba had been convicted of DWI in Illinois and Ector County in the past, he was arrested on suspicion of DWI, third or more, a third-degree felony, and fleeing from police, a misdemeanor, the report stated. The DWI charge is punishable by a prison sentence of 2 to 10 years. He was released from the Ector County Jail Tuesday after posting surety bonds totaling $22,000. OPD asking for public's help. The Odessa Police Department is asking for the public's assistance in finding two aggravated robbery suspects. According to OPD, the victim was robbed by two men in the 2700 block of Donovan Shepherd Parkway and later forced to withdraw money from a nearby ATM. One of the men pointed a weapon at the victim, and while police don't have a photo of him, they do have a photo of his accomplice that can be seen at tinyurl.com/4265P9SV. Anyone who recognizes this man should call Detective H. Hughes at 432-335-3345 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS and reference case number 220017184. Today's obituary for January 5th. Bonnie Snelson Robinson was born February 9, 1928, to George and Katie Pace in Hodge, Louisiana. She is survived by her children and their spouses, Denny and Mona Snelson, Tim and Sherry Snelson, Steve and Janie Snelson, Mark and Treva Snelson, and daughter-in-law Beverly Snelson Looney, and grandchildren. She is preceded in death by her first husband, Leon Snelson, second husband, Cecil Robinson, her mother and father, her brother, Benny Pace, and sons, Terry Leon Snelson, and Carrie Michael Snelson. Funeral service will be held on Thursday, January 5th at 2 o'clock p.m. at Hope Community Church in Midland. Burial at Rest Haven Memorial Park in Midland will follow the service. Corby Jackson Ogden, 27, of Midland, passed away on Sunday, January 1st. Corby was born on June 12, 1995, to his loving parents, Roxanne and Patrick Ogden, in Odessa. Corby will be remembered by his mother, Roxanne Ogden, his fiancée, Bailey Morgan, and their children, Conley and Brazen, his brother, Ryan Ogden, and son, his brother, Lane Ogden, his future in-laws, Sean and April Savage, and their three children, his future father-in-law, Terry Morgan, his grandmothers, Ginger Harrell, and Patricia Tish Ogden, and many beloved aunts, uncles, cousins, and friends. The family will receive friends on Thursday, January 5th, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the branch at NPW. Memorial service will be held on Friday, January 6th, at 10 a.m. at Nally Pickle and Welch Chapel. The family suggests memorials be donated to First Tee or Hunt with Heart. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com.
Midland Reporter Telegram, Health and Wellness Section, published Wednesday, January 4th, 2023. Midland Health provides financial update by Marie Castro. Recent industry reports have highlighted the financial challenges that many hospitals and health systems are facing as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. According to one report, shrinking operating margins are as a result of higher costs and declining revenues are potentially contributing to one of the worst financial years in decades for the healthcare industry. As state and federal relief has diminished, inflation challenges and rising costs from workforce shortages, drugs, equipment, and other supplies are threatening the financial stability of many organizations and their ability to provide access to high-quality care. In 2022, Midland Health operating revenue increased $22.9 million, while operating expenses increased by $23.4 million, with contract labor representing $16.9 million of the overall increase. It's evident that labor expenses have been reset at a permanently higher level, and that while volumes have rebounded, inflation for supplies and other purchased services remain. In 2023, we are focusing on opportunities for improvement to address these challenges that existed before and were exacerbated by the pandemic. The 2023 budget for Midland Health predicts a successful financial year in light of all the uncertainty looming in the industry. The budget includes a decrease in operating revenue as state and federal funding dwindles, with a similar decrease in operating expenses, particularly contract labor, that is budgeted to decrease 42% from prior year. A significant amount of Midland Health's patient population is uninsured or underinsured. Midland Health also funds most of the physician recruitment for our community, supports the teaching program at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, and provides financial backing to other vital services that fall outside the hospital walls. Property and sales tax revenue, along with shrinking governmental supplemental programs, allow us to fund these programs that contribute to the health and wellness of our community. While some healthcare organizations have closed medical departments or ended services at facilities to address staffing shortages, Midland Health has remained committed to serving as a resource for the community. Midland Health has invested in and implemented new internships, residencies, and fellowships for nursing and clinical workforce to replenish the pipeline and reduce reliance on contract labor. In an effort to increase retention and curb labor shortages, a 5% merit increase was given for fiscal year 2023 to help offset the inflationary pressures facing families in the area, and a new minimum wage of $16 an hour was implemented. While the pandemic has exerted significant strains on Midland Health's capacity to care for patients, staff, and communities, our commitment to the mission of leading healthcare for Greater Midland and vision to be the healthiest community in Texas is unwavering. We are optimistic about the future of Midland Health. Over the course of the next 3 years, we will be focusing on four primary strategic priorities to help us accomplish our mission. Those priorities are financial focus, knowledge management, quality and customer engagement, and workforce development. In doing so, we seek to advance the quadruple aim of 1. Delivering a high-quality patient experience of care. 2. Being good stewards of limited healthcare resources. 3. Improving the health of the population we serve. And 4. Supporting an engaged and productive workforce. Marie Castro is Chief Financial Officer at Midland Health. Commentary: Pandemic Drinking Binge Not Letting Up by Justin Fox, Bloomberg. The arrival of COVID-19 and the societal disruptions that accompanied it understandably drove a lot of Americans to drink. But even as life has returned to more or less normal this year, the drinking binge has continued, which isn't great news for anybody other than the makers and sellers of alcoholic beverages. The consumer spending statistics compiled by the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis are the timeliest estimates of alcohol consumption available. They show November spending on alcoholic beverages, adjusted for inflation and seasonal spending patterns, to have been 3% higher than a year earlier and 15% higher than just before the pandemic. Does that really mean Americans are drinking 15% more? Well, maybe. Consumers have been moving for years toward higher quality, more expensive beer, wine, and spirits, which implies that they may not have increased the quantity of their alcohol purchases by quite that much. The annual consumption estimates published by the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism are available only through 2020, and they show a 3% per capita increase in alcohol consumption that year, even as real spending on alcoholic beverages declined 3% because so many bars and restaurants were closed. These statistics also show alcohol consumption in 2020 to have been the highest since 1990. Deaths from alcohol-induced causes rose from 39,043 in 2019 to 54,258 in 2021, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and the population-adjusted death rate is now more than double what it was in the 2000s. The rise in drug-induced deaths has been much, much worse, going from 6.9 per 100,000 population in 1999, less than the alcohol-induced rate, to 33.8 in 2021. The national alcohol-induced death statistics understate the true toll. The CDC estimates that the number of deaths from cancer, heart disease, homicide, and other causes that are attributable to excessive alcohol use is several times higher than the official alcohol-induced number, and over-imbibing has plenty of costs short of death. This calls for a government policy response, and there's a pretty obvious one at hand. Not prohibition, but a reversal of the decades-long easing of alcohol taxation. By modestly increasing alcohol excise taxes now and indexing them to inflation for the future, Congress could discourage overconsumption and reduce the federal deficit by an estimated $114.1 billion over the next decade. Because of the vagaries of the chain-weighted indexing mythology that the BEA uses in calculating real personal consumption expenditures, one technically shouldn't add real spending categories together. That is, if you added together real spending and all the different spending categories, the sum wouldn't equal total real consumer spending as estimated by the BEA, with the difference growing the farther you get from the indexing base year, in this case 2012. Because I'm adding together just a few related categories and not getting more than a decade away from 2012, the distortion here should be small. Six Simple Steps to Build a Long-Lasting Exercise Habit by Kalen Song, The Washington Post. The new year is here, and so are resolutions to exercise more. Google searches for gyms typically spike in January, and gym membership also increases. While many people will start an exercise routine this week, the hard part will be sustaining it. Creating a lasting exercise habit takes time, experts say. We're built to want instant gratification over delayed reward, said Katie Milkman, a professor at the Wharton School and author of the book How to Change, The Science of Getting from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. And most good habits are about delaying some gratification in order to do a thing that's good for you. Motivation for exercise can come in many different forms. Here is some advice from experts on how to build sustainable change. Set specific goals. Having a resolution to exercise is just the starting point. It's helpful to have specific goals and then make an actionable plan. Be specific about when you want to do it. Where will you do it? How will you get there? Milkman said. Research shows that when we make our goals really concrete and bite-sized, it's more effective. Find your why. Michelle Seeger, a researcher at the University of Michigan and health coach, believes the first thing that people need to do is think about their history with exercise and identify whether their approach has been working. Seeger tells her clients to find your why. While people often start exercising to lose weight or get healthier, that approach often is not enough to motivate ongoing exercise, Seeger said. Instead, try finding a more meaningful why, such as focusing on the positive feelings you experience from an activity, said Seeger, author of the book The Joy Choice, How to Finally Achieve Lasting Changes in Eating and Exercise. Avoid all or nothing thinking. Rigidity and perfectionism are often the enemy to building an exercise habit. In Milkman's research on flexible versus more rigid habits and routines, she found that individuals who were more flexible in the timing of their workouts were more likely to keep going to the gym than the rigid group. Seeger notes that all or nothing thinking gets in the way of achieving your goals. Someone might say, "Gosh, I just cannot go to the gym, but I can walk around the block," Seeger said. The formula for helping more people sustain a physically active life is giving them permission to be flexible with what they do. Bundle workout with something fun. Exercise can and should be fun, and people tend to repeat things they enjoy. You can make exercise more enjoyable through a technique Milkman calls temptation building. Link exercise to activities that you enjoy. For example, binge a TV show while using the treadmill at the gym. Milkman also recommends exercising with a friend. Studies have shown that people enjoy working out when they do it with friends and feel accountable to someone. Be patient. Habits take time. It often takes months for habits to form in the gym, so remind yourself that you're trying to create a lifelong fitness habit. There's huge variation across people, but on average, it isn't something that happens just like overnight or over a couple of weeks, Milkman said. People should also take comfort that habits are getting stronger over time, even if it doesn't feel like things are getting easier, Duhigg said. Eventually, it'll just feel automatic, he said. And in fact, once it becomes a habit, you probably won't even notice that it is a habit. Motivate yourself with kindness. If you have trouble sticking to an exercise habit or routine, go easy on yourself. Your struggle may be because exercise feels like punishment instead of something motivating. Practicing self-compassion, which means being kind to yourself, can actually help you achieve your goals. Making changes with encouragement and kindness is a lot more effective than making change through criticism,
she said. Necessary. Dear Dr. Roach, I am an 84-year-old Asian-American taking trazodone, sertraline, and temazepam as needed, as well as daily vitamins. I weigh 130 pounds. My blood pressure ranges from 98 to 111 over 60. 4 years ago, I had kidney cancer, resulting in the removal of my right kidney. 2 years ago, I had prostate cancer and underwent 9 weeks of radiation treatment. My doctor gave me midodrine for blood pressure, but that has not helped. My problem is I am always tired and have no energy. My testosterone level is 0.03 and my PSA is 0.1 ng over ml. I eat a lot of carbs but cannot put on any weight. My doctor will not prescribe any medication that might affect my PSA. Can you suggest anything I can do to help my situation, DE? Answer. If you are using the standard units of testosterone, ng over dl, that number is very low. Testosterone works on many bodily functions, and very low testosterone can cause loss of muscle and bone. Your symptoms of fatigue and low energy are compatible with low testosterone, but are not specific to it. There are many other additional causes, and I'm sure your doctor has looked into them, such as anemia and thyroid disease. One that deserves mention due to your symptoms and having had kidney surgery is low adrenal gland function, adrenal insufficiency, which requires special testing. The issue of testosterone replacement in men with a history of prostate cancer is complex. Several small studies have shown that testosterone given to men with prostate cancer in remission did not worsen outcome, although these trials are too small to provide confidence that the risk is negligible. Given the effect on your quality of life, it seems worthwhile to reconsider testosterone replacement in at least a trial of effectiveness. It sounds like these symptoms are having a very significant negative effect.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, January 5th. Discovery of family secret troubles surviving relative. Dear Abby, while doing some genealogy research during the pandemic, I came across my maternal grandfather's death certificate. I knew he had died at a fairly young age during the Depression, but I was shocked to learn that he had committed suicide by carbon monoxide poisoning in his car in the garage of their home. His little restaurant was not doing well, and money was scarce. I imagine he was desperate and depressed. My mother had anxiety issues, which may have been the result of her father's suicide or a genetic issue. Should I share this information with my adult children? Could it be helpful to them in any way? My mother didn't share this with me. I have a close relationship with my children, and this secret is troubling me. Signed, Withholding Information. Dear Withholding, your mother didn't share the details of her father's death because back then, suicide was considered a source of shame. The stress of keeping her father's suicide a secret may have contributed to her anxiety. Fortunately, attitudes are more enlightened today, and the subject of suicide can be discussed. Because this secret is troubling you, you should definitely bring it out in the open. It might be helpful to your children to know that depression may run in the family. Dear Abby, my husband's brother and his wife visit every 6 weeks and are guests in our home. My husband is very close to his brother, and I know the time they spend together is a blessing to both of them. My problem is his wife. She drives me crazy. She wants to get into my business and is very outspoken. My husband's parents and his other brother have passed. Other members of the family have room for them to stay, but I was the only one who opened my home to them. I don't want to cause problems in the family, but she criticizes what we watch on TV and tells us what she prefers to watch. She wants to go out to eat, and I have told them repeatedly that I don't want to do that. I still take precautions against COVID, but I can't get that through to her. They have a lot more money than we do, so spending $100 at a restaurant is nothing to them. I'm not comfortable spending money like that. I cook at home, which she rarely does. I dread the weekends when they come. How can I tell her that in my home she should keep her opinions to herself? Signed, Fed Up in the South. Dear Fed Up, in the interest of preserving family harmony, do not confront your sister-in-law. You and your husband should speak to her and his brother and lay down some ground rules about their visits, particularly the excessive spending on restaurants. Divide the TV entertainment time equally between you. If that doesn't suit her, offer to loan her a book or suggest she bring reading material the next time she visits. Unless you are quarantined, make a point of visiting another equally health-conscious friend so you aren't subjected to this woman's company all the time. You might also sweetly suggest that it doesn't seem fair she spends all her time with you during these visits, which deprives the other relatives.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.